You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Today's date is the 6th of October 2016, and we're going to be doing something a little bit different for you today. I just got a message. Matt's having problems with electrics over at his place, so he's unable to make it today, but he has managed to get me a file of his speech at the Hammerfest. It's about 23 minutes long. This is the first time that I've heard it, but I have heard from people it's a really good speech. So what we're going to do is we're going to play that for you, and maybe I'll make some comments at the end of it. But first off, we have to have a listen to it so we can see what it's like. So I'm going to play that for you now.
I'm here today to give a speech that I'm calling "For Brockwell in Europe, The Path to Victory." And I want to start by saying, this is the best current year ever. Because everyone has heard from the left, you know, they invoke this principle that nationalism, the idea of traditional gender norms, the idea of identity is so passé. It's 2016, it's current year. But current year is turning out to be a great year for nationalists. In Syria, the Zionist forces and Western-backed forces of the Islamic State and the rebels are being driven back to the end of Aleppo and other cities as the nationalist forces of Bashar al-Assad are pushing forward. Populist nationalist parties throughout all of Europe are winning. It was proven in the Austrian elections that the Austrian Freedom Party was cheated out of their victory for the first presidency. A nationalist would win since the Second World War. Now they're holding another vote because the fraud was so egregious in December. We have the potential, for the first time in 71 years, to soon again have a nationalist leader in Europe. This is something that would be unheard of a generation ago, or two generations ago. But the future is coming now. Angela Merkel's CDU party suffered a defeat where they were thought they were going to be victorious in Germany, in Pomerania, and they were knocked from being first place to third place. But the Alternative for Deutschland running on a policy of national identity borders, stopping the flood of immigration and repatriation of the foreigners that have come to their soil. None of the pundits saw this coming, but the people are awakening to the principles of national identity. Of course, we have Donald Trump bringing the discussion of nationalism, of borders, of ending free trade and having fair trade. He has brought that to an issue to win the most votes of any Republican candidate in the primary season in Republican history, running specifically on the principle of national identity and borders. Well, he is not a white nationalist. He is not one of us. He has put our talking points into the mainstream of the American system. And this is an excellent time for us to be alive. Another exciting development is Brexit. The British people decided that they would no longer live under a tyrannical government in Brussels, but they would instead stand and have their own self-determination. They would make their own laws, not unelected bureaucrats in Brussels and this other nation to tell them what to do. They voted, and every pundit said, only a racist fringe would ever vote to leave the European Union. Only backwoods, you know, are their equivalent of hillbillies, would ever consider that. The Remain campaign is going to be a stunning victory, proof in the power of democracy, that everyone loves globalism, open borders, free trade, all that stuff. And again, it was the white working class in the north of Britain that has been hurt most by immigration and free trade that rejected globalism and chose nationalism. The European Union, what has lived to enslave our European brothers and sisters for generations, the first thread has been pulled, and it's beginning to unravel. The right is on the march everywhere on this planet. In Europe, it's on the march. As I said, in the Middle East, in Bashar al-Assad's Syria, they are marching forward. Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines is a nationalist leader that, in the principle of kill your local drug dealer, He is the president of the Philippines, has now killed over 3,000 drug dealers, child rapists, pornographers, murderers, thieves in his country, and the United Nations has said this violates human rights. And pardon the language in front of, I know this is family friendly, but this is a quote from Mr. Duterte, again, a head of state, when they said, you're violating human rights by having justice. It's better with these drug dealers to have children die in the streets and families torn apart. That is more moral and just than having justice be done to end the poison they're putting into the communities. So Rodrigo Duterte said to the United Nations, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to do what I think is best for my people. And he has a 93% approval rating. Why this is important, how the Philippines and Syria and Britain comes together for us here in the United States, is the principles we espouse of nationalism, of identity, of culture, and of blood. These are principles of which every man of any background believes in. This is normal, natural, organic, and healthy. And this lie of globalism, this lie of Jewish occupation of our nations is coming to an end. And the entire world is rising up. The war, though, here in America has come home. You are no longer allowed to be able to opt out as a white person in America. Black Lives Matter is not resigning themselves simply to protesting in the cities. They're coming to the suburbs. They're waging a war on college campuses. Many of you I know, I myself just this year lost a job for being an open white nationalist. What this war has done, it has brought the fight to us where you can't have a job, where they tell you that they'll try and take away your children, where they emasculate you as a white man, they attack you everywhere, and they're literally bringing mobs of violent thugs that say that the only good white person is a dead white person, as we saw in some of the riots in Charlotte. There's no way to opt out of this fight anymore. This fight involves every white man, woman, and child in this country and on this planet, because there is a war out against us. And for a long time, our people, who have called us crazy and fringe and things like that, have hidden in their suburbs, have hidden behind their televisions. But the enemy is not allowing them to hide anymore. And this is good, because when white people have their backs against the wall, we fight. We stand together, we fight, and we win. So this is good that the enemy is pushing our people, because they're kicking the sleeping bear. They're tugging at the lion's mane. They're the jackals swarming around the lion. And the time now is for the lion to awake and show these jackals that he is the king of the jungle. And that is what our people are doing, not only in Europe, but here in the United States. Nationalism is now mainstream. Politics has shifted in which the left has become so left with the idea of white privilege. To be able to drive into places like Appalachia, to Warr, West Virginia, to McDowell County, to places throughout our nation where the average life expectancy is a decade shorter than the pundits and the political class that live in Washington, D.C. suburbs, where the infrastructure is decaying, and where you are more likely to die of a drug overdose than any other cause, whether it be cancer, car accident, or other. Our people are killing themselves in record rates because they've lost hope. Our schools are falling apart. Our bridges are decrepit. Our homes around us, if they haven't been seized by the banks, are falling into decline. This idea of white privilege is insane to any white person that works a 9-to-5 job, pulls his 40 hours and tries to get overtime, tries to take care of his family. The idea of white privilege only makes sense to the political class in their ivory towers, who are insulated from the real world. But us, brothers and sisters, we live in this world, and so do our neighbors. And our neighbors are seeing that the left hates them, that the Jewish oligarchs like George Soros are pumping money into groups like Black Lives Matter to burn down our cities, attack us on the streets, murder our people. In academia, we are demonized and said that throughout all of human history, there has been one group of people behind every society's ills, and that is whites. Young whites are told that they are the epitome of everything wrong within the planet. And that is child abuse. I wouldn't want that for any child on this planet, to be told that their ancestors were horrendous and that they should hate themselves. It's child abuse that's forced on our children. But what we're seeing is the real world is coming, and whites don't have any position to go but to fight with us. Obama's HUD program is forcing refugees into non-diverse areas, which is a code word for white. The flood of legal and illegal immigration is demographically displacing our people, and they are tearing down our statues. As we condemn what the Islamic State is doing in places like Syria, tearing down historical monuments and churches, what we see here in the United States is they're tearing down the Confederate monument in Louisville, Kentucky. They're trying to dig up Nathan Bedford Forrest and his wife from Memphis. And they're tearing down our flag that we see over there. They are tearing that flag down from soldiers' graves throughout the entire South. It doesn't matter if you are quiet right now, because they want to destroy your ancestors. They want to destroy your past. The Islamic State destroys all pre-Islamic things because they want a world where nothing exists in the minds of the people except for their regime. The Jewish oligarchs want the same for us here in the United States, where they destroy everything that doesn't go along with multiculturalism. All of our ancestors, removing Andrew Jackson from the $20 bill, talking about removing statues of our founding fathers. This isn't a joke. They're trying to culturally cleanse us from this earth. As they demographically displace us, they don't even want us to be left in history books to be remembered by future peoples. They want us to no longer exist on the face of the planet, to become an unperson, as George Orwell would have written about in 1984, or Stalin had for those that he purged within his regime, where he would disappear them from history. This is what we are facing. It isn't just demographic decline. It's not just poverty. It's total destruction. But brothers and sisters, this is a moment where we should actually be encouraged. Because you only fight this viciously against an opponent when you're scared of him. Our enemies could have waited generations to slowly demographically displace us, but they are going full bore to destroy us and our people and all of our symbols, our culture and our heritage and our blood. They're doing this because they're afraid of you. They're afraid of every white man and woman that stands here today and stands in solidarity with us throughout the entire United States, from South Africa, through Portugal, all the way to Russia and Latin America. Wherever Europeans are, they fear us because they know that they are cowards. The merchants and the bankers are cowards who will hire other people to do their fighting for them. They won't fight themselves. They want to hide in their gated communities. They don't want to ever live around diversity, but they want to force it on us. Be encouraged, because when your enemy is this vicious, I know many of you have probably been hunting. What happens when there's an animal that's gut shot and it knows it's coming to an end? It fights harder than any animal you would ever see. It gets power it didn't know it had. And that is what the Jewish oligarchs and their Gentile collaborators, the traitors among our own people who have sold us out, are doing. They are fighting so viciously because they see their power slipping from their fingers. Brexit. The European Union is supposed to be able to create the European superstate, where the Kalergi plan, as it's known, a Jew, of course, came up with the idea that the European of the future would be of mixed race. All European heritage would be destroyed, and they would get rid of all national identity. And this project was going great for decades, and now, slowly, the fingers are coming loose. And Europe is regaining its sovereignty. Nationalist parties like Golden Dawn are now the third largest party in the Greek parliament. In the two last elections, they got less than 1% of the vote. Now they're the third largest party. This shows what happens when people are able to choose between nationalism and globalism. The enemy is attacking us here, calling for more refugees, more open borders, more amnesty, because they see that we are waking up. Events like this are so important, and we've talked about unity in this cause for such a long time. Some of you who have been in this movement for a long time have probably stood and heard people talk about unity before. But what's different now is, again, our backs are against the wall. The time is now where we realize division between class is meaningless. Division between religion. Because the Jew does not care if you are a Christian or a pagan or a creator or if you're not religious. They don't care. They hate you because of who you are as a person. They don't hate you if you're middle class, working class, or rich. They hate you because of who you are and who your brothers and sisters are. And when we realize that the enemy is fighting us equally, regardless of our class, our subculture, whether you're a skinhead or an intellectual, or whether you're involved in the National Socialist Movement or the Aryan Nations, whatever group you're a part of, they hate you equally because the Jews want to destroy all of us. So comrades, what we need to be able to do is understand that the enemy is scared. And they're scared of this tonight. Because we are coming together as a movement. We are fighting and standing together. I had the honor, I had just returned actually a week ago from Greece, meeting with our comrades in the Greek Parliament in Golden Dawn, and comrades in the Czech Republic. And I've had the honor to go and meet the National Democratic Party of Germany, Noah Dropdown Romania, and other nationalist parties. And they had the same problems that our cause has had for a very long time. Division. Fights over religion. Fights over subcultures. They had all of this. And when they put their people first, the future of their children first, now as we see the European nationalist movement is going in a way that is so positive, gaining seats, gaining ground, every European country gaining ground. This is the model for us to follow, and one that should inspire you to more action. Because when we come together, we are unbreakable. We need to be able to understand the path forward. As the Germans said, a Volksgemeinschaft, the people's community. Regardless of who you are my brother or my sister. We are in this struggle together, and I have a 13-month-old son at home. I care about the future of my child so much, I would do anything to fight to secure his future and the existence of children like him. And no matter who you are tonight, if you have children, I'm willing to lay down my life for your child as well. Because it can't just be about my family. It's about all of us. Because we are one family. As Europeans, we share the same blood, the same heritage, and the same destiny. We are tied together. So our victory for one is not a victory for a subculture or a group. It's a victory for the European folk. We need to be able to follow the example of Europe and to be able to fit into this global movement of nationalism. As I said, it's rising all around the world. The nationalist train is leaving the station. It's time for us to say any bitter feuds from the past or history to put aside. Because in Europe, Romanians and Hungarians, God bless them both, they've been fighting over Transylvania, a small patch of land, for a very long amount of time. But now we see Hungarian and Romanian nationalists marching together in the streets. When I was in the Czech Republic, there were Germans, there were Poles, marching together in solidarity. Peoples that three generations ago fought a bitter brothers' war against one another. They put all of that aside because the future of the European people and the European continent depends on their unity. Us brothers and sisters need to do the same. There's a lot of baggage, there's a lot of history, but the future of our children is dependent on us to come together. And I believe, following the European example, we are also following the example of Commander George Lincoln Rockwell, a martyr who died for our cause and gave his all for the sake of white American children. He, of course, believed in was founder of the American Nazi Party and believed that engaging in activism and events was crucial to be able to grow the movement. But his second stage was to have a political movement. And I know when people say politics, you think boring things. And the important thing to know is with politics, everyone can be political because everyone has an equal role. Whether it's security at an event or graphics design work or hanging leaflets or running as a candidate as an explicit pro-white candidate, each one of us has an equal job to do. And no subculture, no group, or no individual doesn't have an important role to be able to play in that. We need to be able to sell this dream to our people, to motivate them, to know what we're fighting for. It's crucial for us to show them that we must be able to have a better future, rather than under the traitorous Democrats and Republicans. A future under white nationalism will bring them a better future for their children, their grandchildren, and all future generations. We must tell our people that we are the only ones fighting for them. From the coal fields and the haulers of West Virginia, to the ranchers who are out of work in Montana, to the whites who are being demographically displaced in Texas and in California. The people need to know our message, that we are fighting for them. Because no one else is going to do it. The Republicans want more cheap foreign labor for their big money business owners that support them. The Democrats hate us and just want to replace us. We are the only ones fighting for them. And when we bring this idea to the people, they will understand
that only through white nationalism, the belief in faith and family and folk and unity amongst our people, will they be able to have a better and brighter future. We can be able to do this in many ways. And that comes by winning trust. I'm going to bring it to an end, I promise. But the message we need to know, and events like this are great, but building relationships with our communities is crucial. Winning their hearts and their minds. Golden Dawn spends the majority of their time feeding hungry Greeks, clothing Greeks that don't have food or don't have clothing, going ahead and helping members of their community to win their trust, to show that, again, nationalists are the only ones who care for the people. The left, when they say they care for the workers, don't care for the workers. They want to enslave the workers. And the capitalists and the reactionaries only put Jewish financiers and internationalism as their primary drive. Nationalists fight for the people. We need to take our movement into the streets, and that is through marches and events, of course. But it's also through charity. It's also through showing people that the things that the system is unwilling or unable to provide to white working families, we will provide. And this is not a handout, this is a hand up. Because these people who are killing themselves with drug overdoses in places like Appalachia, who are falling into deep depressions and other suicides, what they need is a spark of hope in their hearts. They need to hear the message of nationalism, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And the destination we're going is a glorious one. So what I suggest for our movement, and I call all of you, regardless of your organization, to do, over the next year, find ways to help your community. Show them that the Jewish lies about nationalists are just that, lies. That we are a movement based on love. As G.K. Chesterton said, the true soldier fights because he loves what is behind him, not because he hates what's in front of him. And that is what drives us, is love for our families, love of our descendants, and love of our ancestors. So we must find ways to win the hearts and the minds of our people, to be able to work together and have a unified cause. Because when we stand together, when we fight together, we will win together. Oh, thank you. So, comrades, thank you so much. And I just want to say, the future does belong to us. I know it's hard sometimes, but understand that nationalism is winning everywhere. It's just time to bring it here. And it starts today. It didn't start tomorrow. Doesn't start the next day. It starts today. Look at your brothers. Look at your sisters. This is a family effort. We need to come together, and we need to be able to accomplish the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. That is the reason each and every one of you is here. Anything that might divide you from that is great. It's window dressing. But your mission is the 14 words. That is what drives us. That is what drove our martyrs to give their lives and their blood for our people. We must honor their martyrdom and their sacrifice, that they were willing to give it all for us and our children. We must be willing to give it all for our children as well, and to carry the torch, because tradition is not the worship of ashes. It's maintaining the flame. Our ancestors defended Europe, defended our people, fought and gave it all, went through every deprivation, hardship, famine, sickness, disease, occupation, and war. But they kept fighting because they knew that victory would come. And comrades, victory will come because our side and our cause is just. Our cause is righteous. And what you do every day for this movement is to honor our ancestors, to honor our martyrs, and to be able to ensure that our children have a better life than we had, and that our people will have a future where our blood and our heritage and our culture will live on, not just for a generation or a few more generations, but till the end of time. Because again, when Europeans stand together, we cannot be defeated. So comrades, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Remember, we are the revolution. We are marching forward, and we must stand and fight together. And if we do that, we will win. Thank you so much, and hail victory!
Well, what a great speech that was. I think Matt covered a lot of ground there. I think sometimes people don't realise, but that Brexit vote, that really was a vote for nationalism. That was 17 million people that voted for sovereignty for Britain, which is exactly what nationalism is. And I think the Jews try to cover that up by claiming that, like the Scottish National Party in Scotland, as if they are nationalists and they're trying to split the country up. They're not nationalists. They're regionists or regionistas. They just wish to be a region of the EU. They wish to be ruled by the European Union. And they don't care who comes into Scotland. So long as they can put a kilt on, then they'll call them Scottish. Doesn't matter what colour they are. But over here in England and Wales, where we voted to leave the EU, you can see that this feeling is that we don't want all these other races coming into our country and taking over. We don't want them to be called British. We're against that. That vote really was for nationalism, that Brexit vote. And that really should inspire everyone that this can be done. All you've got to do is keep pushing for a referendum. And then once you win the referendum, you just have to keep pushing more. And look at what's happening in Austria at the moment with Norbert Hofer, who rightfully should be president already. They fixed the vote, and he pushed and checked the vote and said, look, this is wrong. You falsified the vote. So now they're being forced to have another one. And I do firmly believe that Norbert Hofer is going to win that vote. And then look at what's going on in America with the big push to support Donald Trump, which again, I do think Donald Trump is going to win when it comes down to the election in November. All across the world, you've got an awakening among white people, realizing what's going on, realizing that they're being replaced, that they haven't got places in the schools, they haven't got places in the hospitals, they're having to queue for everything. They don't understand what people are saying to them. You go to a shop and you speak to the person in the shop, they don't understand. You're trying to order something in a cafe and they have no idea what you're actually talking about. And this isn't the way that things should be. The other day I was looking around a museum and looking at the way that people used to live, and it was telling us about this community and a new railway had been built, and the Lord of the Manor put on a huge great public breakfast for everyone, and then all the people clubbed together and they bought the Lord of the Manor this big cup to say thank you for that. And this was the way that things went on. The community all looked out for one another. And if you bring in multiculturalism and diversity, then you lose all of that because you don't even understand what the people around you are saying. And that's what matters. It's race that matters. And again, this brings me to another point of Matt's speech, where he was talking about we shouldn't be letting things like religion divide us, these different subcultures. It's the race that's important. If you're putting your race first, then what does it matter what you're believing? I mean, me, of a Christian faith, that's the very heart of the Christian faith, is to love your neighbour. So if you're putting your race first, then that's exactly what you're doing. You're loving your neighbour. And you can't get more Christian than that. So what does it matter? The different terminology that people use to describe their God, if what they're doing is carrying out the tenets of the Christian faith. And being against race mixing and doing whatever they can for their people. You know, that's what should be important, is protecting the race and getting together with other people and going out into your community and showing that you're a good, honourable person. And then when they find out that you're a nationalist or a patriot, then they start to become interested in that themselves as well. I think it's very important that we do put across a good image to the people that we meet and the people that we talk to. And we don't have to be hardcore with them. We don't have to be hardcore Nazis with them. You know, we can just support patriotic things. We can just drop the odd little bit of information in there that they may not know about, the odd bit of statistics, and then leave it to them to work out the reason why things have changed, and leave it to them to work out that the reason why we've got all this crime is because of the immigration. All you've got to do is just sow a few seeds somewhere. You don't have to be hardcore with them. You don't have to bring the Jews up to people. Let them find these things out for themselves. We had to find it all out for ourselves. I doubt very much that many of the listeners here came to nationalism by somebody talking them into it. You know, I would make a bet that 99% of the listeners that are listening to me now discovered this for themselves through researching it for themselves. That's the way that it comes about, but But in order to put people on that path so that they're searching out for themselves, the first has to be a seed sown. And that's a seed. That's not a fully grown tree. You don't have to hit them with the whole Holocaust is false. The Jews are running the government. The Jews are running Hollywood. You just have to point out that we didn't have this crime before we had this immigration. And why is it that the government is giving these minorities privileges and taking these privileges away from us? Why is it that the BBC are sacking people for being white? Are you sure that they're all white themselves at the BBC? Is there some other race that they could be? Are they Arabs? You know, you can point these things out to people. You don't have to be really hardcore with them. But we're coming to the end of the podcast now. And I just want to say again, what a wonderful speech that was by Matt there. And he's going to be back tomorrow, I believe, with Jason Augustus from 14 Sacred Words. And then we should be back to normal again next week. We've had a bit of a hectic time. I've been very busy this week. Matt was getting back from Europe last week. So hopefully we'll be back on track next week with the Daily Traditionalist and also with the rest of our radio airing content. So thank you for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. I hope you tune in tomorrow. And until then, hail victory.
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.